podcast, it's Reveal. For the breakdown, let's ignite. Like a goal, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight. For the breakdown, every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Tuesday night, November 19th, 2024. You know what that means. Brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, YouTube channel, and Twitch channel. Hit that like button, subscribe button, follow button, notification bell on YouTube, all the above. If you haven't already, at Boiler Break Pod on all social media platforms. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb in the house. Webby, how are we doing tonight? Big game coming up.
Yeah, big game Friday. There was a game apparently on Saturday that we have to talk about. But yeah, it's a busy time of year.
Busy time of year for sure. Title of tonight's podcast pretty much sums it up. Purdue rolled and got rolled all in the span of about 24 hours. Yep. Well, let's start with the not so fun sport to talk about, and that is Purdue football.
Yeah, the way. Bad news first.
49-10 loss to Penn State, number four Penn State. They are up for number four again. College football playoff shows going on right now as we speak, and they are number four yet again. Yeah, pretty ugly. I just don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, it's same mistakes we see over and over again. Not scoring touchdowns, looking lost on defense, allowing big plays, little mistakes you can't have when you're trying to upset a top five team, let alone top 10, top 25.
Like back-to-back offensive line penalties, just dumb stuff like that. Yeah,
throwing a, well, looked like a touchdown right away and then realizing the receiver's out of bounds. Just awareness. Just ugly, man. Just ugly. There wasn't really any bright spots. You know, switch kicker. And Freehill makes a 22-yarder, but right before half, he misses the 48-yarder. That could have made it 21-6 going into half with getting the ball after half. But wasn't the case. We said last week on the pod, Purdue would have to try to find a way to stop Tyler Warren. And they did not do that. The dude is a beast, an absolute beast. I mean, I've never seen tight ends take direct snaps like that. He's a monster. And, Purdue needed to be perfect to have any shot, and they did not. They didn't cover. Like I said, lost by 39. Good weather day. Good attendance. Out of the crowd yet again. Can't say enough about the crowd throughout the home stretch. Throughout the six games, you know, and usually the last home football game is pretty bittersweet feeling. This year, it's a lot more sweet than it is bitter.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, and myself included, just kind of ready for this to just be over. It feels like a chore to watch sometimes because you just, I hate saying it, but it feels so much like the Hazel years where you just kind of go into a game, especially like against this type of team, we're just like, no shot, like absolutely no shot. And I hate thinking that because it's the complete opposite with basketball, which is crazy.
Sure.
Like you said, like it just baffles me. Just the, I don't think talent is an issue. That's the thing. It's like, I look at some of these guys, I'm just like, there's no way we're not. I mean, I think we have the talent in a way. It's just like the execution is just so bad. And I don't know if that's a scheme, if that's coaching. Obviously, it has to relate to coaching, too.
I think it's all across the
board. I don't know what it is.
I think it's coaching, attention to detail, scheme, and I think it's also talent. But it's hard to compare talent when you're playing top five teams. I mean, three of Purdue's last five games have been against top five teams, and they've got smoked in every one. The two games where you can compare talent, maybe Illinois and Northwestern, two overtime losses. That's what tells me, am I expecting to win this Friday night up at East Lansing? No. But we damn sure better be competitive.
Yeah.
If not, that's the final nail in the coffin if there wasn't a final nail already. In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right there. If this game not, I feel like we've said this like two or three times already this season. I feel like how this game goes is going to tell us a lot about the future of Ryan Walters. But yeah, just these the countless plays, big plays getting up. Or like, I mean, I remember the final straw for me. I think it was the same play you left at was the wide open, touchdown. Where I was at home. I was supposed to go to the game, and I'm not being able to, or I ended up not going because of I'd been gone multiple nights in a row, and we had plans to go run errands after the game. And when that play happened, I just turned off the TV. I was like, all right, let's go. I was done.
Well, it was one of those plays where you know, you're not really doing
that because I was still following my. Yeah.
You're not really looking downfield, and then the ball's up in the air. And I just hear a roar, and it's a Penn State crowd who they had probably about 10,000 or so.
Yeah,
the stadium. And I look up. I'm like, oh my god, he's pretty much gonna fair catch this ball. He's so open in the end zone. And then I'm like, yep, we've seen enough. So left. But I don't know. I kind of agree with you, Webby, but I kind of disagree with the talent. Like, the portal guys just haven't hit. And, you know, I really got to thinking, and I want your opinion on this. When I look at the roster, and, you know, it's not only who can Purdue get in the portal, it's who can they retain. That's a big challenge. There's only four guys I absolutely want back next year. All the rest, I could take them or leave them.
Yeah, for me, Maccabee, Claire, Thieneman, Helt.
Yep.
And
Helt's even borderline for me, but I think he's got a lot of potential. But we haven't really seen
it. I think he does, yeah. I think I maybe even be leaning towards Marcus Davila. Just off of sheer, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we haven't seen anything from him this year, which is a little surprising.
And what's scary with quarterback is like, was he recruited for Graham Harrell's system?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy too. Like we haven't mentioned Taryn Grant's name, who's a Purdue's first 5-star.
Yeah,
like,
maybe him. He's a freshman. Maybe him. Yeah. Maybe Jerome Tibbs.
Yeah. I do like. I mean, I feel like Edrin's done better. It's like it's nice to have a big body receiver like that. It's just something that Purdue hasn't had. But yeah, it's like at this point, we all read Max Clair's statement after when he was post game, and it's like that did not sound good at all. And I wouldn't blame these guys either. I mean, like last year wasn't great either, but there was at least some promise, and then a lot of these guys stuck it out. It's like when there's so much uncertainty, whether it's, whether Walters is retained or not, I wouldn't fault them for testing the waters because I'm sure they can get paid a hell of a lot more. I mean, especially if Walters is back, you read, granted, Knucklehead Central isn't the end all be all for the Purdue fan, but it's a good pulse.
And see a lot of people, a lot better than our dime.
You see people saying, I'm donating a dime if he stays, which is like, it's just compounds the problem, which is kind of this, like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think season ticket sales would go down if he's retained. And maybe I'm way off on this. Maybe I don't have my finger on the pulse. But I still find a hard time to believe that stands won't be full come game one if he's retained. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, the guy that's sitting next to the basketball games, he had said he's not going to renew his season tickets unless they make a coaching change. Yeah, next to a basketball game, so. There's at least one person I know.
I think there's a lot of people who wouldn't renew their season tickets, but they could still get single game tickets. You know what I'm saying? Like the stands could full. Especially if Purdue, which they should, no matter who's coach, get out to a 2-1 start next year at the worst. I mean, so Purdue's 2-1 hosting a Big Ten game. Tell me the crowd's not going to be decent.
Right.
I don't know, but so I kind of call some people's bluffs on that. Not the season ticket thing, but the I'm not going to be at a game until this guy's fired or anything. I mean, if he was retained and turns things around, makes a bowl, people come to games. So I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make the decision with, like, I think there's so much more involved in this decision that people realize.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't know if a new guy comes in right away and wins five or six games next year either. So
yeah, I mean, it's not like next year's schedule is really any better. I mean, you know, non-con is slightly better because you replace, you know, Oregon State with Ball State.
Right.
But you still have Notre Dame. You still have some big boys from the Big Ten. And obviously, you don't know how, you know, as we saw this year, and teams like Illinois and Indiana all of a sudden kind of emerge as like definitely a level above Purdue. So it doesn't look as, you know, it doesn't, you know, there's just less toss up games is what we may anticipate. I don't know what to do. Like, and then you hear the whole thing about, you know, is part of the reason he may come back because Babinski doesn't want to, you know, fire him, hire a new guy right before he retires, which I don't know how I feel about that. I just feel like if you're going to fire him, you know, it's kind of like if you're going to fire him halfway through the season next year, cause we're off to a, you know, 2-5 start. Like, why don't you just do it at the end of, you know, 2024 season? I don't know, but again, that's why he gets paid what he gets paid to make those decisions.
Yep. Yeah. It was just an awful year to be awful with a unbelievably hard schedule. Uh-huh. I mean, it was just an awful combination of the two, really. But either way, Purdue football is going to look a whole lot different next year. Roster, no matter what, coaching staff, potentially, head coach, potentially. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I still think, you know, part of me is like, oh, we could start talking about our potential candidates we'd like to see, but I still feel like we're not there yet because we don't know. Don't know. Maybe next week at this time we'll have a better sense of direction, but I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't really even started thinking about that because, again, it just kind of makes me sad.
I have, but like,
yeah, there is an argument to be made too. I was listening to Boyle Sports Handsome Hour today, and they were talking about, which is a good point, which I kind of had seen on Twitter as well. You know, there may not be as many open jobs as we thought there might be this season. It's like, if you're going to make a move, you know, you have a lot more options than next year, which, you know, you potentially could have Florida State, Florida, hell, maybe even Nebraska. Like, you never know with Rule.
Wisconsin, maybe.
Wisconsin, LSU. You know, some of these places were, you know, Oklahoma, some massive names and massive fan bases and history to where, you know, you may not get your, you know, top tier guys because there's just so many more opportunities for them to go to a higher level, whether or not they're ready or not. But so it's like, does that factor into their decision too? Of like, hey, Purdue could be one of the, because right now everybody who's been fired has been, you know, G5 or, you know, of, you know, similar size. So it's like, if Purdue were to open, it'd be by far the biggest job. And obviously, no matter what perception is right now, I still think Purdue's a really good job because, I mean, if you're a Big Ten job, I mean, one's a Big Ten job, so obviously there's a crap ton of money. But then also, as we saw this year, I mean, Purdue is going to more than likely go 1-11 and was at 90 plus capacity every single home game, even when they were, you know, 1-whatever. So the fan support's there, which is a lot can be said more than a lot of other Big Ten schools, along with the money.
Yep. And if you win 6, 7, 8 games, fans are going to be happy.
Yeah.
So more times than not. You know, but I don't know. It's been the least, and I know I sound like a broken record here, but it's been the least fun season by far to cover since we started this podcast
in
2018.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully we don't have a season like this again going forward, but we'll have to see. But there are 2 more games to play no matter what. This Friday night up at East Lansing, 8:00 Fox. So another national televised game. I'm sure this is not what Fox wanted, 1-9 versus 4-6. But I questioned it when it was on the schedule before the season. Yeah. I was like, there's a chance late November that game's going to suck. And here we are playing Michigan State, a team we have not played too much recently. Got to go back to that 2021 upset when Michigan State was ranked number 3 in the country. Came in and David Bell put on a show, beat the Spartans 40-29. And before that, you got to go back to 2018. That was the last time the Boilers went up to East Lansing. Right after the Tyler Trent Ohio State game, Purdue was feeling good about themselves. Went up and lost to Rocky Lombardi by a score of 23-13. And this series actually has not been kind to the Boilers at all. Before 2021, Purdue had lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight to the Spartans. Lost in 2015, 24, 21. That was the number two ranked team.
Yeah.
At the time, Markell Jones almost pulled off the upset. Lost at home in 2014, 45, 31. Lost in 2013 up at East Lansing. I don't remember this game at all. 14-0. Lost in 2010. Oh, I remember that game very well. 35-31. We blew a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. All we had to do was win that game and beat Indiana. We would backdoor our way into the bucket, but we lost both of them. We went 4-8. 09, lost 40-37 at home. I remember that game. 08, lost 21-7 in East Lansing. And 07, lost 48-31 at home. So our last win up in East Lansing was 2006, 17-15, what I call the Casey Welch game. Backup kicker who did not have a lot of run at Purdue, and I think our starting kicker got hurt. So he had to come in and hit the game winner, which was like a 30-yarder or something like that, but he did it. So
seems impossible right now.
So this is not a friendly series to the Boilers. 29-36-3 all time. Do have a winning record in Ross State, 18-14-3, but up at Sparta Stadium, 11-22.
Wow.
So not very good at all. And like I said, Purdue's 2-8 in the last 10 matchups against the Spartans. Spartans are 13.5-point favorites. So lower than what's normally been the case. Spicy bull prediction. Yes.
Oh, man. I think I saw a stat. I can't remember how they worded it, but it was essentially was like passes thrown that were like turnover worthy. It was something like that, like where like essentially a pass was like could very easily be a turnover, but wasn't. Or I'm not sure how they worded it. But Michigan State's QB was number one in terms of throwing balls that could easily be turnovers. I've seen a little bit of Michigan State this year, not a ton.
He's the transfer from Oregon State. He came with Jonathan Smith, their coach.
Yeah.
Aiden Childs, I believe is how he pronounced his last name.
Yeah. So I'm going to say spicy. Man, remember, we're going to go spicy. Purdue gets three picks.
Well, that almost – they have four on the season. So that almost equals what we have on the season. But he does – I'm looking at stats right now. He's 164 for 269, 2,106 yards, 10 touchdowns, about 11 picks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's been sacked 26 times. He has ran 85 times for 210 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Crap.
They've only ran for 9 touchdowns in the season. They do use their tight end a little bit. He's their third in receptions and yards, but no touchdowns. Nick Marsh seems to be their big play guy. 37 receptions, 611 yards, 3 TDs. But Montrose Foster Jr. has 42 receptions, 529 yards, 2 TDs. Let's see on defense. They have 15 sacks on the year. They have 8 interceptions. And they have forced 3 fumbles and recovered 1 of them. So, like we said, they'll be fighting for their bowl lives.
Yeah.
They need to win this. And then they finished the season.
Two home games, us and Rutgers.
Yep, Rutgers. So a chance. Good chance for Jonathan Smith, which would be a good first year for him. Absolutely. I think they have lost their last 3. Lost at Michigan 24-17, home against Indiana 47-10, and at Illinois 38-16. Their last win was at home against Iowa 32-20.
The Indiana game is the game where they got up to a 10-0 lead and then gave up 47-9.
Yep. So we will see. But my spicy bowl prediction is Purdue covers the spread.
Okay.
I'm expecting a competitive game. I will be very disappointed if it's not.
Mm-hmm.
We'll predict the score.
It's like your fantasy games on Friday.
I'm glad it's on Friday. And then, Purdue basketball has the spotlight to itself at noon. And I said spotlight to yourself. I keep forgetting it's on Big Ten Plus because it is college football Saturday. Thankfully, I'll be there this Saturday, so I don't have to worry about
it. Yeah, it's not a spotlight.
Which reminds me again, I got to cancel my subscription. Still haven't done that. Let's go around the Big Ten for football. Let's start with the big one, the biggest game on Saturday. Fox Big Noon. It's game day. Number 5, Indiana at number 2, Ohio State. Ohio State's a 13.5-point favorite. I have never seen, I don't think, at least as far as I can recall, a top 5 team this big of an underdog.
Yeah. In game. And I wonder if that's still just the name factor. Like, people are just still having a hard time believing. But also, I mean, it's too. I mean, like, this is their first ranked game. I fully expect Indiana to give them a game, at least for a little bit. I'm praying for a blowout. I don't think Ohio State is a team that really like does that. They're pretty methodical. But I'm gonna say
they're due to play really, really well though.
Yeah. I mean, this is a game like, I mean, you could argue Ohio State needs this game more, which is wild because obviously they already got the one loss. You know, two losses puts them out of the Big Ten championship.
Yep.
You know, Indiana, all they do is beat Purdue to get in, which obviously we know that's more than likely going to happen.
Well, and here's what Vegas thinks of Indiana. Their line's already out for the Michigan game. Michigan's a 10-point underdog at Ohio State.
Wow.
I know it's a rivalry game.
Yeah.
But Indiana just beat Michigan, and Michigan's closer, has a closer line than Indiana. So,
Give me Ohio State. I'm going to say they cover. Barely. But, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what IU's got to keep it in within to stay in good graces of the committee. Because I feel like if they get smacked by 20 plus,
yeah,
I think they're in trouble. And, you know, for the longest time, it's 11-1 gets them in. But
yeah,
all the talking heads are saying you can't put them in over a Georgia or an Alabama or potentially Tennessee or Ole Miss.
I think if they get blown out, they'll need some help. They'll need some help to some people to lose a third game or – yeah, something. I don't know. Yeah, because they really can't afford to get blown out. I don't think it'll be a shame.
Like,
I mean, they're 17 right now.
But
that could change, obviously.
It would be so heartbreaking for Indiana fans to go 11-1 and miss the playoff because it shows you it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it could if they go 11-1 or 10-2 with a tougher schedule. But yeah. I don't see them, and maybe I'm just a hater. I don't see them replicating this success at least anytime soon.
Yeah, I think part of it, you know, obviously it helped with the easier schedule, but I think they snuck up. I think like they probably like stuck up on some people. Like I don't think, looking back, Nebraska took them as seriously as they really should have. I think Nebraska thought, hey, you know, let's say it's, you know, they're undefeated, but you know, they've played nobody. You know, we're Nebraska, and
Nebraska has really waken up. I mean, they've woken up. They've lost. You know, they're 5-5 now.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't be Colorado right now if you replay that game.
And
they smacked Colorado, so.
Yeah. And people kind of caught up to Raiola and the freshman phenom and all that. But, I give me Ohio State and they cover.
Yep. I'm hoping Ohio State just kills them. And maybe this nightmare can be over. So, Illinois, 1-point favorite at Rutgers. Illinois, if they win this game, they got 8 wins with one more to play.
Crazy. Give me Illinois. They're playing well.
Taking Illini as well. Iowa 6.5-point favorite at Maryland.
Give me Iowa.
Yeah. I like Iowa as well. This is the big one. Winner goes bowling, and then losers got to find a way to win their last game. 5-5 Wisconsin, who fired the offense coordinator. At 5-5 Nebraska. Nebraska's a 2.5-point favorite, and Royola guaranteed a win. To the fan base.
God. Well, give me Wisconsin then.
I'll take Nebraska.
Wisconsin's playing well. I mean, they gave Oregon a major scare.
They fired their OC, Webby.
Yeah, that's true.
Dumb to bring air raid into Madison, Wisconsin, anyways. That was stupid. But I'll take Nebraska just to disagree there. Penn State 12-point favorite at Minnesota.
This I feel like is a sneaky game.
I do too. I could see Franklin dropping this.
I don't know if he'll drop it, but I could see it being like less than a
touchdown.
One score game late, and Penn State needs like a heroic defensive possession to to win. So I'm gonna take Penn State, but I'm gonna say they do not cover.
On the line at 12. I think Minnesota keeps it pretty close throughout, though.
Yeah.
Northwestern, 10.5 point dog at Michigan. That's interesting because that went down 2 points since yesterday. It was 12.5 yesterday. So,
give Michigan. I think they cover that.
Yeah. I
do.
That
game's
going to be boring. That's going to be a low scoring game.
But yeah.
In USC, 4.5 point favorite at UCLA. It's weird not to see this be the last game of the season.
Yeah. Give me USC.
I'm right there with you. I'm right there.
30
with
on
you.
NBC. Interesting. I didn't realize it was that NBC did games that late.
They do now.
Pizza and after dark.
Top 25. We don't have too many compelling matchups, but this one got a lot more interesting last week. Number 11, Ole Miss, 10.5 point favorite at Florida, coming off a big win over LSU.
Yeah, and this is again Ole Miss. If they have any prayer of making a play, which I think they're on the outside looking in, I think they're on the far outside, but give me Ole Miss.
They had them in tonight.
Oh, they did. Yeah, they played Indiana.
They played Indiana. Yeah,
that's right. My bad. Yeah.
I'll take Ole Miss.
They stay in there because Tennessee's right knocking on the door.
Number 14, SMU's got a shot potentially at the playoff. 9.5 point favorite at Virginia.
Give me SMU.
I'm taking them as well. BYU, it says 6 here, but they're 14th now. They fell 8 spots. At 8-2, Arizona State. And Arizona State's 3-point favorite.
Yeah. Arizona State, cool little story. I mean, was second year head coach or?
Yeah, he's around our age. I think he's 34.
God.
Yeah, can you imagine?
No, I can't. That's why we have a podcast.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, give me Arizona State.
I'll take the Cougars to be different there, but it won't shock me.
I'll say give me the Red Devils, but that's not they're the Sun Devils.
Sun Devils. West Lafayette. Shout out West Lafayette High School.
Yeah.
Number 17, Colorado. They actually moved up 16 tonight, I believe. 2.5 point favorites at Kansas. This game's at Arrowhead. I think Colorado's got to – yeah, for some reason. Kansas played their last home game at Arrowhead as well. Colorado needs to be locked in because Kansas just went into BYU and upset them to – give them their first loss, and Colorado can't afford a loss. So. No.
But I think Colorado gets it done.
Yeah, and Travis Hunter probably wraps up the Heisman Trophy, probably. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh at Louisville. They're not ranked anymore, but they are right here on my app. Louisville's 8-point favorite, and that was a bad loss for Jeff Brohm and company, and a long plane ride home from from California.
Give me a little. I think they bounce back.
Yeah, I do too. But man, that was bad. I just don't understand. I know Jeff's aggressive, but I don't understand going for it on 4th and 10 from midfield.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, unless he thought if the quarterback could throw deep like he did, maybe time would expire. But there was still 5 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah.
Then you get the personal foul. Then you get the offsides, and then the 52-yarder.
It was a classic Jeff Brohm.
Like, it really was.
We've seen that all too many times.
It really was. Number 24, undefeated Army is playing number 6, Notre Dame, who's a 14.5 point favorite. This game's at Yankee Stadium.
I think Notre Dame rolls in this one.
I do too. I do too. Notre Dame
story with Army and Navy at the one point being undefeated, but should hopefully make that game really fun. It's already a fun game, but hopefully it's even more hyped up.
Yeah, if Notre Dame happens to trip up against Army or USC, they are out of the playoff, I believe. Yeah. But they're playing good football right now. A few more games here. Number 15, Texas A&M, 2.5 point favorite at Auburn.
Give me A&M.
I'm taking them as well. I was surprised the line was so low.
Yeah.
Auburn's not good. Number 10, Alabama, 13.5 point favorite at Oklahoma, who is 5-5.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't heard more. Well, actually, did you see Vernable's comment about his?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not wrong. But give me Bama.
Yeah, Alabama. Vanderbilt at LSU, who's lost 3 straight. LSU's a 7.5 point favorite. Both these teams are 6-4. If Brian Kelly loses this one, he's in trouble.
Yeah. Give me LSU.
I'm taking LSU as well. And lastly, Cincinnati, who is 5-5. They were having a really good season at one point, and they've kind of hit the skids. It says number 16, but they're not anymore. At 7-3, Kansas State, who's 8.5-point favorite.
Give me Kansas State.
Taking Kansas State as well. And score prediction and MVP for Purdue, Michigan State Friday night.
We'll say Michigan State 24, Purdue 17. Purdue MVP, though, I'm going to say Maccabee.
You kind of took both my answers. So now I got to switch it up here. I'll take Michigan State.
I said three picks. Thieneman. He gets.
Oh, okay. He's two.
Yeah.
Michigan State 27-17. We go Jamal Edrin. Catches two touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not? So, yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, I'll be watching, but.
Yeah. For a reason, when I think of like playing Michigan State, like in East Lansing, I always feel like it's going to be rainy and miserable. I feel like
it's
crap weather, cold. It's always in October, like late October, November. Yeah. My thoughts of East Lansing is just dread.
my thoughts of playing Michigan State in football is just odd. I don't know why we've had so many battles, good battles with them in basketball, and it just seems like football, just nothing really ever stands out.
Yeah.
I
kind of forgot about them a couple of years ago when we beat them in their top five.
I did not go to that game.
I remember going to that game. It was when they still had the South End Zone, Morgantown. I walked from there and you had to walk through what was then the visitor kind of side of the stadium. And I remember like they were chirping. Oh my God. And I was like, I wanted to fight so badly. we had a guy in our section that was awful.
They're jerks, fans. Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah. From football.
So. I think me and a bunch of people, like, cause who was Kenneth Walker was on their team and
he was a
huge Heisman favorite, and Purdue just like trounced all over his Heisman hopes. Mm-hmm. And me and a lot of people were making that well known.
Yep. Oh yeah. So we will see. We'll hope for the best, but let's flip gears. Well, before we flip gears and talk about something a lot more fun, let's let you know who this podcast is brought to you by, one of our sponsors, and that is Mad Mushroom. Mad Mushroom's been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan and I visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which the pizza of the month for November is the Mad Scramble. It's Mad Mushroom's Alfredo sauce topped with scrambled eggs, bacon, diced potatoes, red onions, green peppers, and mozzarella cheese, starting at just $14. So next time you're in town, which hopefully is Saturday, if not before then, stop in and tell them Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5. It's all caps BREAK5 to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. And Webby, where can our viewers and listeners get some great Boilermaker apparel if they want to do so? You know, Christmas right around the corner. It's a month and 6 days away. I did finally start my Christmas shopping.
More than me. I talked to my mom earlier and she said, I need a Christmas list. I'm like, crap.
it's getting harder and harder.
It's wild. The shop, I'm wearing one right now. Their classic logo tee. They've been around since 2011. Boilermaker owned, which is awesome. We love, supporting local companies, but especially when if they're boiler owned. They've been around since 2011, but they now have worked away from selling out a garage to now three retail locations. If you're in town, in Indy, around the Indy area, they got one in Carmel, one in Broderpool, and one downtown Indy. So there's wherever you're at, there's probably one not too far from you. But if you want to shop online, as we all do in the year 2024, if you go to shopindy.com, you can use promo code breakdown, you will get 25% off your entire order. And I believe that you can use it more than once. So go for it.
Yep. I need to make an order. I've been saying that. Need to make an order. So, all right, let's talk about some fun stuff. I feel like it's just pain and misery the first half of these podcasts anymore, but But what a big win for the Boilers, knocking off the number two at the time, Alabama Crimson Tide, in front of a sold-out Raucous Mackey Arena, in front of a nation watching on Peacock. 87-78. And Webby, you were there in attendance, so I want your viewpoint there.
Yeah, I mean, it was nuts. Goes without saying. I will say, going, like, rolling up to the arena, my gut was like, which is the first time this has happened, probably. I kind of had this feeling during the national championship game, but at that point, I think I was just so elated to even be there. Like, it didn't matter at that point. But I was like, I don't think they're getting this one done. And, like, I think Alabama's just really good.
And they are really good. And they are really good.
Yeah, they are really good. And when they got to that 6-point lead, I was like, oh boy, yeah. this is the danger zone. Like, this could get ugly real fast. Anyways, I'll go back and start. But yeah, Mackey was primed and ready to go. It felt like a massive game for being the fourth game of the season. It felt, you know, like a Michigan State Indiana game, even if not more so. It just, because I think it's just cool because it's obviously the opponent that we don't play a whole lot, or a team that doesn't come to Mackey very often.
Like Duke 08 ish.
Yeah, it was very similar to that, which that one feels special because that was the first time, like, we got to see something like that. Like, I feel like we didn't really experience that growing up.
So definitely, and Purdue was not ready that year yet.
No, they weren't. But it felt like, after being the first couple of games, like, yeah, it was like, you could tell, like, people were just like, we're waiting for the big one. And it felt that way. I mean, yeah, the starting lineup was awesome. The crowd was ready to go. You tell they're just waiting for someone to hit a big three or something to happen.
First bucket of the game.
Yeah. Couldn't believe that happened. But yeah, Mackey was awesome. When it got to, you tell they were like, kind of how they had been all season, where like, you tell the crowd was wanting to just like have some reason just to go ballistic, and it never really gotten there because either, you know, Purdue was winning by it, you know, too much, or, you know, like the Yale game maybe was a little too close for comfort in some capacity. But when CJ Cox went on his 9-0 run, should have been 10, but he missed the free throw. That was as loud as I know it's not the loudest technically, but it was, I mean, that was absolutely wild. Like, my ears were hurting. It was just pandemonium.
Yeah. Purdue needed it. I mean, that flipped the whole game on its head. And that's what I was impressed with. You know, Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, TKR, Trey Kaufman, and those three are dudes. They're going to play well more times than not, night in and night out. And they all three played great the other night. Trey, especially at the five. Playing with some foul trouble. Gave
Grant Nelson a lot of issues, which Grant Nelson's a great player. He was one I was worried about I was worried about him last year. He didn't do much last year. But he's one I was worried about from a defensive side on Purdue because he's tall, he's lanky, and he can move. But yeah, Trey put him in a spin cycle multiple times. Yep. It was awesome.
Yep, those three play great. I mean, Brayden doing Brayden things, 17-10. Fletcher 17 and only 9 shots. But it was also a game of the other guys stepping their game up. Miles Colvin making an impact while not attempting a field goal. His defense was awesome. It was good on the glass and a block or two. Camden Heidi coming off the bench, grabbing 8 boards.
That was of a Mason Gillis performance as we've seen Heidi. I mean, in the short season, like, that was a Mason Gillis type game. 8 rebounds, hit his open 3.
Yep.
Didn't make mistakes. Yeah, that was huge.
CJ Cox, like you said, hitting 3 threes in a row, 9 points. Caleb First adding some valuable minutes. Caleb's been
awesome. I've been really impressed with how Caleb's played so far this year.
Burgess coming off the bench hitting a 3, 5 points. wasn't sure he had that in him for a big game like this right away.
Yeah.
But everybody contributing. The only negative I have take away from this game, and I think it's going to be a constant, defensive rebounding is just not very good with this team. At times they just have trouble catching the damn ball. They're in the right place, the wrong time, right time. They just can't catch it.
Which, some of those, like with a team like Alabama who takes a ton of threes,
right?
You're going to have those weird, like, there are so many times where it just like ricocheted off the rim, and those are tough. But when it mattered most, Purdue was able to get down. Like I said, Miles Colvin, like if you would have told me, you know, Miles Colvin was playing crunch time minutes against Alabama, you know, 4 months ago, I'd be like, oh, okay, he's just like going off. But then you say he's took zero shots. I'd be like, wait,
I wouldn't believe
it. What are we talking about?
I wouldn't believe
it. Yeah. He did a great job on Sears, blocked him multiple times. Braden, for not shooting well, he had a hell of a game. Best player on the court. It was just an all out effort from everybody, which is like, as we kind of talked about, we were going to need one of those types of games where one, it was, you know, Mackey magic, but then also just everybody kind of firing all cylinders, which when you shoot, it's like 9 of 16 from three. That's pretty good. Only three turnovers.
Yeah. One unbelievable.
Which was a moving screen. So it was like a live ball turnover.
Ties the program lowest in program history, I believe, in a game.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. When they got down six, I was like, oh man, crap, here it goes. Which I haven't had that feeling in a long time.
We're pretty spoiled.
Yeah, we are. Then CJ Cox came in and just kind of put the team on his back for that short stretch, less than a minute. With Brayden on the bench too, that was even cooler just to see him and the rest of the guys kind of react on the bench with all that, which, as you've seen all the angles from Purdue creative team, which they've done an awesome job with the Alabama movie and just anything they've put out. But hell of an atmosphere. Is great, you know, to be on a national stage like that. There was one other game later that night, which is, you know, Wisconsin knocks off top 10 Arizona, but, you know, Purdue was the only like legit game on, so it was cool to have kind of the nation's eyes on us and produce that way and have, you know, not that we, you know, Mackey's been getting its due as it should have been, you know, especially the last 5-6 years. But to have that type of game, that type of atmosphere in front of a lot of also recruits, it was couldn't ask for a better night.
And we probably would have had even more eyeballs if the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight wasn't going on.
Yeah, that's true.
Which that fight didn't go on till like midnight anyways. And
yeah,
I was one of the many millions that couldn't watch the dang thing anyways, even though I tried. All the other fights worked for me until that one. And then it just 25% and kept freezing. And that's a rabbit hole for another day. But Mitch Melton here on Facebook. I have my moments when I feel Mackey was louder than ever before. However, watching from TV, the Cox heat check, could that have been the loudest you've ever heard Mackey? Kind of sounded like from home. No, I agree from the couch, Mitch. It was
that got like, cause he hit the second one and people were going crazy. And then when he got the ball, when he brought the ball the third time, you could tell like he wanted it. And so the crowd was kind of just like hanging on every moment. And they gave the ball up and they got it back and they're like, oh, and then he launched it. And he's like, it just like everybody was just collectively holding their breath. And that was probably, I've got goosebumps just thinking about it right now. But yeah, that was, I know I've probably heard Mackey louder, but it's hard to pinpoint it. Yeah. Zach's three last year against Indiana, that was loud for just a whole different reason. But from like a game where it was tight, like that was, I mean, you can probably argue maybe, Rayfield's three against Michigan State in 2016. Yeah. That was massive. It has to be up there, but it was really cool.
And his little mid-range jumper after that could have brought the house down. But
yeah.
Just because that would have been 4 in a row, but he missed that one.
Yeah.
So, but he reminds me of Willie Dean out there. The cornrows, number zero.
He
looks like
Willie Dean, but he plays like Carson
Edwards. East Coast kid.
Yeah, yep. He's got the fearlessness of Carson, like just fearless to pull up like that. It was so cool. It was so much fun.
Hopefully that fearlessness travels tonight up to Milwaukee as the Boilers here in about 44 minutes tip off. I do not like these late tips, by the way. I'm an old man. tip off against the number 15 Marquette Golden Eagles, a team that Purdue doesn't have a long history with, but boy, do they recently. Purdue's 3-1 in this series, and all these games have taken place dating back to the 17-18 season. Purdue won last year down in Maui, 78-75. Won the year before in 22-23 by a score of 75-70 at home. Lost up in Milwaukee in 2019-2020 65-55, one up in Milwaukee, 2017-18, 86-71. A lot of those matchups, three of the four were part of the Gava games, mm-hmm. and the other was the Maui Invitational. This is just a straight-up classic home-and-home, so yep. we will see Marquette again next year coming to Mackey, which, you know, shout-out to Shaka Smart at Marquette and Matt Painter. Shout out to Nate Oates mm-hmm. of Alabama for making these homes and homes happen. And even Bruce Pearl at Auburn is going to be neutral. I mean, that's we're guaranteed three big time matchups next year. And mm-hmm. a lot of teams don't want to do that because they don't want to.
And yeah, we saw it.
Take a chance at a loss.
Kansas and North Carolina. I mean, that was a big time matchup at Allen Fieldhouse. Like, this is what makes college basketball so much fun, is games like that.
Yep.
And especially coaches being able to do it earlier in the season. It's just so much better for the sport. Like, I mean, yeah, you can have great, like, I mean, Champions Classic is awesome. Like, cause you've got some, obviously you got marquee names, but it's nothing. If it's not in front of the
camera, on campus
or the Izone, like yep. those games are, will make college basketball.
Yep.
What it is.
That's what I'm so intrigued about, this 12 team college football playoff being the first year we've seen it. So first round games on campus, it's going to mm-hmm. be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially if SEC teams have to come up north to play in Ohio State or Notre Dame or, God forbid, Indiana. Yeah, it'll be interesting. But, shout out to the head coaches that still make this happen. You could be like a school down in Bloomington and schedule absolutely nobody, which just doesn't do you any good in basketball.
No.
And really, you know, we've said the argument of football for years, why schedule hard? Well, now – you could almost say you got to schedule at least one tough non-con game or decently tough because you never know how your conference slate's going to turn out.
Yeah.
So maybe not pay off Louisville. Anyways. Besides tonight's game, Purdue also hosts Marshall this Saturday. It's noon, like I said, Big Ten Plus. So pay the $11.99 for the month if you want to watch that. Or just listen to Rob Blackman and Bobby Rodell. That's as good, if that's actually better. Purdue and Marshall have only played one time ever, 1971. Purdue came away with a close victory in that one. But how are you feeling going into tonight's game? Vegas has the Golden Eagles 5.5-point favorites.
Yeah, I feel a lot better now.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I was too. I think when I came out like 2.5, I was like, okay, that makes sense. Like 2, 3.5. Right. That makes sense. Like kind of a toss-up, you know, give it to the home team, 100%. I would agree with that. But we moved up to like 5. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I feel a lot better now that Purdue beat Alabama. Because look at these two games. I was like, just split. Just for the love of God, just split. Because like then it puts a lot of pressure on the Auburn game, which they're looking really, really good. And obviously Texas A&M is meh. But you
I still think San Diego could be a guy.
Yeah, I kind of forget about San Diego too. But the fact that they got the Alabama one, you got one in your belt, like, this is going to be a tough one. I mean, it's a team that they know each other really well. A lot of the players who play on these games are back for both teams. Cam Jones is a dude. I think they I'll be curious to see how they handle Purdue in the paint. You know, we don't have Edie, but, you know, with Trey down there, I mean, pinch at the 5 again. But I know they like to shoot a lot, and hopefully they're not hitting, because that's –
yeah.
I mean, as you always do, but
yep.
I think they've taken like it's a absurd amount of like percentage shots that have been threes this year.
It's always interesting playing up there because it's played in the NBA arena, Fiserv Forum, where the Milwaukee Bucks play. So it's not on campus or anything. But like you said, a building Purdue's pretty familiar with. Do you think Matt changes the starting lineup tonight?
Whew. That's a good question. My thought is no, just because they're winning.
And yeah, it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah, it's kind of been this thing where like he doesn't change it just to change it. If he does, though, I could see him inserting Colvin for Jakari just because of Colvin's effort the last two games, especially on the defensive end. Or you could say, hey, you know, he's earned that spot. But I think it's also nice having Colvin off the bench for his offense. Cool. Or for his offense. And his ability to now come in and kind of, you know, I think he's going to be huge tonight, I think, on Cam Jones, because Cam's a big guard. He's like 6'5". So it's going to take a collective effort to slow him down. But I'm going to say he doesn't, just because, again, they're winning.
What do you think the keys of the game come down to tonight?
Rebounding.
Yeah.
Rebounding, staying out of foul trouble, as we kind of saw it, you know, in Alabama, like it's like the whole, I feel like everybody who was like, someone said it, if you're over like 6'8", you had multiple fouls, I feel like, in the first half. But I think basically it's going to be rebounding. You know, I think Rafael Davis did put a good one out there, like, you know, make however many points Cam Jones has, make his shots close to the same amount. Like, cause that means he's taking a lot and missing a lot, but you also get in the rebound, make him have an inefficient night. And then just not turn the ball over.
Yep.
I think this team's offense is, dare I say, elite. I'm not sure if I'm ready to say that yet, but they've looked pretty damn good. I do wonder sometimes if that's just Painter's philosophy of like, screw it, we can't stop them, let's just go out and score them, which is just wild from a Painter team. But I think that we've kind of seen that with the way he's kind of messed with lineups, with putting Trey at the five and, you know, Cam at the four, Colvin at the three, you know, sometimes, and then Fletch at the two, or Colvin and Fletch, two and three. I'm not sure really which one they're actually at. And then obviously Braden at the one. But I think, yeah, just rebounding. Don't let Cam Jones beat you. Do what you do on offense. I think the Purdue should hopefully come away with a win.
I'll throw free throws in there. Got to make your free throws on the road. But it relaxes me knowing that, you know, your three-headed monster, Covenren, Lawyer, and Smith are so experienced, especially on the road, because a lot of the guys play tonight, not so much. Yeah. Not so much.
Which hopefully the Creighton game, you know, obviously it's not the same.
Good point.
But at least it puts you in front of an opposing crowd against a good team. I don't know how – does Marquette always play at the Pfizer Forum? They don't always play there, do they? Or do they
– That's a great question.
Because I feel like just in the arena, like I doubt they
– Every time we play them, it's there. But
yeah. I'm not sure if it's sold out or not. But, you know, if it's not,
I doubt it. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. So if it doesn't, then that could hopefully take away some of the, you know, the crowd intensity. Yeah. But it'd still be pretty. I mean, they're a legit team.
Sure. Good. Well coached.
Yeah. They're going to pressure the heck out of the ball.
Yep. Yep. Score prediction MVP for tonight's game.
Ooh. Score is going to be 84-81 Boilers.
Oh boy, MVP. I better get my pills ready.
Yeah. MVP. I'm gonna say Trey.
All right. I'll go close to last year's score, but I'm gonna go 80-74 Purdue. Okay. I like that 80 number. I like Cameron Day's answer here on Facebook. PJ Thompson MVP. Yeah, PJ. He's done a heck of a job with the offense, and he's got a very bright future for sure. Hopefully he stays in West Lafayette for many, many years. I think he will. I don't think he'll go anywhere. My MVP tonight, let's go Fletcher Lawyer. He's shooting with more confidence. Not that he's never been a non-confident shooter, but he looks even more confident now than ever before. Yeah. And he literally, every time he shoots it, I think is going in. So, yeah,
because it has like 68% of the time.
Yep. Cameron Day, for PJ Thompson, is the next coach in 10 years, hopefully 15 to 20 years. But I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I think that's definitely what they're grooming him for, though, for sure. But it should be a fun one tonight. Like I said, I wish you had started at 8, even though we wouldn't be live on the air with y'all here. But I'm getting so old. I hate these 9 o'clock tips. What is Fox Sports 1, right?
Yeah.
So who would be on the call of that?
I'm guessing Robbie's got to be on the call again. Robbie said he had 5 games in November for Purdue, so I'm guessing maybe not this one. I don't know.
Well, let me see if I can find her real quick. I'm on the.
Or maybe Jim Jackson. He just Fox.
Website, so.
Did Elliot see thing?
Well, here we go. Benetti and Rafferty.
Oh, Rafferty.
All right.
Oh, I love Benetti.
I can get on board with that. Or we got to hear onions.
Yep.
Main event. Yeah, Fiserv Forum seats 18,000.
Jeez. So.
Yeah. So, but looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. It'll be fun. Yeah, Thad, we know you're on good old mountain time out there in El Paso. So, 7 o'clock tip must be nice. So, any final thoughts, Webby, as we wrap up this week's pod?
This football season has felt like a week and a year all at the same time somehow. I'm not sure
how. Yeah, I agree with that.
Basketball's been really fun, and I'm glad.
Yes, it has.
And yeah, hopefully boys can get a dub. The non-con streak has just been insane. And I'm just like, there's no way they can keep it up. And every time I think that, they win. So
let's keep doubting them. Let's keep doubting them.
Yep. But
let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Golden Eagles, beat the Spartans, then beat the Thundering Herd.
Yes, sir. Boiler up.